Well, good morning. Buenos días a todos. It's great to be with you again. It's been some months since I shared with you last fall. I believe I had an opportunity to share God's word with you as a congregation. He tenido la oportunidad antes de compartir la palabra de Dios con ustedes. But to be back, things have changed. I see new faces here. Veo nuevas caras aquí. And that's great to see. Something to celebrate for sure. Praise God. Alabado sea Dios. To meet new people. There's been new things in my life. Ha habido cosas nuevas en mi vida también. Since the last time I preached here in September, I have a new granddaughter who was born in December, and that's good news too. Tengo una nietecita que nos nació en diciembre. I'm also in a new ministry. I've been working the past few months as a workplace chaplain. And what that means is I get to go into about 20 different businesses throughout the month, and I am connecting with workers, and I am caring for them, but also open to opportunities, looking for opportunities to be the presence of God there to share the love and the good news of Jesus. So that's been an exciting thing for me. Yo sirvo como capellán en el trabajo. Voy a varios sitios de construcción, negocios, etc. Y busco oportunidades para apoyar a los empleados y también compartir con ellos el amor y el mensaje de Cristo. So thank you for having me back. And thank you, Pastor Mark. I so appreciate the relationship that we have as brothers and colleagues in Christ. Aprecio la relación que tengo con el Pastor Mark y con toda la congregación. And as we begin here, I just want to pause and pray a second. Could I do that? Vamos a dar una pausa y orar. So Lord, here we are. And we thank you for this time. This is a unique time each week. Es un tiempo único cada semana. Este momento. Somehow, you take imperfect people who speak and imperfect people who hear, and you speak a perfect word. And that's because it doesn't come from us, but from you.
Usas a personas imperfectas que hablan y personas imperfectas que escuchan y comunicas tu palabra perfecta. Qué maravilla.
And so as we gather around your word today, may we simply hear from you. May you be the only one that we hear from. May you be the only one whose word sticks with us.
Que tú seas el único que nos hables y que tu palabra quede grabada en nuestros corazones.
Thank you for your precious and holy word. Thank you for the scriptures. Thank you for the psalms.
Gracias por tu palabra y en especial por los salmos hoy.
May you bless the hearing and the reading of it this day.
Que bendigas la lectura y también el oír de tu palabra hoy.
In the name of Jesus we pray, en el nombre del Señor Jesús. Amen. So you're in a series this summer, as I understand, on the Psalms, experiencing through the Psalms the sweetness of God.
Está mirando los Salmos, experimentando la dulzura de Dios.
And today we're going to be looking at a Psalm that I think points us to the sweetness of trusting in God.
El Salmo de hoy nos señala cómo qué dulce es confiar en el Señor.
And that Psalm is Psalm number 62, el Salmo 62. So I want to invite you to open it up, and we're just going to kind of walk our way through this a little bit.
Vamos a caminar poquito a poquito por este Salmo.
And as you're getting there, I imagine most of you, like me, are familiar with, you've seen these things called QR codes, right?
¿Ya saben lo que son los códigos QR?
Who does not know what a QR code is?
¿Quién no sabe qué es un código QR? No,
nobody, right? We've seen them everywhere. Even if you don't know how to use one, they're there, right? Aún si no los usas, están ahí. They're in gas stations or in stores. You can see them on billboards. Están en las gasolineras, tiendas, vallas publicitarias. You can actually find them in church bulletins sometimes. I think Pastor Mark, you probably used them on the screen here. Están en los boletines de la iglesia. Right? They're everywhere. And you look at them, a QR code, and you look at this and you say, what is that? It just seems like a bunch of blotches of black and white.
Parece ser unos patrones de blanco y negro.
I mean, if you use your imagination, you might say, well, is this a maze or something?
Parece un laberinto.
Or maybe it's a crossword puzzle and I just got to fill it in or something like that.
Se parece un crucigrama.
You know, these three little weird squares at the perimeter.
Hay unos cuadritos en el perímetro.
It doesn't make sense to the naked human eye, does it?
No tiene sentido.
But take out your little camera and lock in on that QR code, and it opens up this whole other world, doesn't it?
Con tu cámara de teléfono puedes ver todo otro mundo, ¿verdad?
You're at a restaurant, there's one of those things on the table, you can open up a menu.
Puedes abrir un menú en el restaurante.
Or somebody says, hey, tell me what you think of our service. You can open up a survey, and you can take a survey.
Puedes abrir y hacer una encuesta, or
all kinds of things, right? You can download music using a QR code.
Puedes bajar música.
I even got a QR code in the mail about a week ago from the city of Goodlettsville. They sent me this little refrigerator magnet with a QR code.
La ciudad me envió un código QR con un imán de la refri,
and you're supposed to scan it to report potholes. We'll see if it works, right?
Es para reportar pozos en el camino, cosas así.
And so QR codes, you can even find instructions to build furniture, right?
Puedes encontrar instrucciones para montar muebles, cosas así.
They're everywhere. Well, in Psalm 62 today, we find what Bible scholars would call a song of confidence.
Este salmo, los académicos lo llaman un canto de confianza.
It's a poem written by King David. We're told that fue escrito por el rey David. And over the centuries, this poem, this song, this praise song was used in the worship life of the people of Israel. And through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it comes to us in the Word of God.
Fue usado el pueblo de Israel y hasta nosotros en la iglesia.
And this is a psalm that when you look at it, and we're going to look at it in a second, when you look at it, it appears to kind of bounce all over the place. It seems to kind of go up to heaven, and then it kind of comes down to earth, and then it kind of bounces around, and it feels like a collection of thoughts and emotions. And it, you know, at first glance, you look at this thing, and it doesn't seem to really come together.
Al mirarlo parece estar mirando el cielo y después la tierra y parece una colección aleatoria de emociones y pensamientos que no tienen sentido.
But let me assure you today, we're going to find out Psalm 62 is anything but random.
Este salmo no es aleatorio.
In fact, what I think we have here is kind of an ancient QR code.
Tenemos aquí como un código QR.
It's just waiting for us to lock in on it, to scan it, to study it a little more in depth, and of course, beyond that, to experience its truth, to live it out.
Es algo que espera que podamos enfocarnos en este salmo, que podamos estudiarlo y después experimentarlo y vivirlo.
And there's a single word I want to highlight. There's a single word here that runs all through the length of his psalm. It's used about 4, 5, 6 different times.
Hay una palabra simple que corre a lo largo del salmo.
It's like a thread that just sews it all together.
Es como un hilo que cose todo, une todo.
And in the original language, the Hebrew language, that word is the simple word ak, just two letters.
La palabra ak en hebreo.
But it's translated various ways. Usually it's translated as only. Or alone.
Se traduce como solo o en otras maneras.
In fact, that's what we see right here in verses 1 and 2. Let's dive in and take a look. Miremos versículos 1 y 2. For God alone, there's that word, for God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken.
Solo en Dios haya descanso mi alma. De él viene mi salvación. Solo él es mi roca y mi salvación. Él es mi protector. Jamás habré de caer.
David here is boldly declaring a truth that he has learned through years of trials and tribulations and challenges and difficulties, through years of battles and problems.
David aquí declara una verdad frente a todas las pruebas y las tribulaciones y sufrimientos de su vida.
And that truth is that God alone is his foundation, just like we sang before, right? We will trust in you. You are a sure foundation.
Él declara que solo Dios es su fundamento.
God alone is his deliverance, his salvation.
Dios es su salvación, su liberación.
God alone is his protection. God alone is his fortress, his refuge.
Solo Dios es su protección, su refugio.
And how does David here express his faith in God alone?
¿Cómo expresa su fe? Solo en Dios.
Verse 1 tells us, "For God alone my soul waits in silence."
Solo en Dios haya descanso mi alma. En otras versiones dice, solo en Dios está acallada mi alma.
In other words, David's saying here, I have learned that in the face of great overwhelming circumstances, in the face of battles that are too big for me, in the face of problems, sometimes and many times the best thing to do is not to man up and spit into the wind and try to beat what can't be beat by your own efforts.
A veces frente a las dificultades, lo mejor no es intentar batallar en mi propia fuerza.
Yes, this is the David that went out to Goliath. He went out with little stones, but that's not what beat Goliath.
David fue al encuentro de Goliat con cinco piedras, pero las piedras no derrotaron a Goliat.
God defeated Goliath. And David is saying, in the face of problems that are just way too big for you, sometimes the best thing to do is to shut up, stand still, and do nothing.
A veces hay que callarse y no hacer nada.
Do nothing, which then is something. Trust in God alone.
Confía en el Señor solamente.
Sometimes working feverishly is not going to get it done. You'll only wear yourself out. And what is this result of trusting in God alone?
¿Cuál es el resultado de esto? De confiar solo en Dios?
Well, he says at the end of verse 2, he says, I shall not be greatly shaken.
Jamás habré de caer.
I'll stand strong. Now that's verses 2, 1 and 2. Now if you jump down to verses 5 and 6, you find basically the same theme being repeated with a slightly different wording.
Versículos 5 a 6 nos repite más o menos el mismo tema.
For God alone, there's that word alone, my soul, oh my soul, wait in silence. For my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken.
Solo en Dios haya descanso mi alma. De él viene mi esperanza. Solo él es mi roca y mi salvación. Él es mi protector y no habré de caer.
I don't know if you notice there's a little twist here. There's a little bit of a difference from verses 1 and 2. David here is turning to his own soul, and he's talking to his soul. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence.
David said, dirige a su alma, oh alma mía, haya descanso en Dios.
He's rallying his soul. He's exhorting, he's encouraging, cheerleading his own soul.
Está exhortando a su propia alma aquí.
You know, there's a picture that I get in my mind of those, you know, like those epic battles in those epic movies like Lord of the Rings or Braveheart or movies like that.
Pienso en esas películas épicas con las batallas épicas como El Señor de los Anillos.
And you get all the soldiers lined up, right? Los soldados están en la línea de batalla. And the king's out there on his horse. And he goes down the line and he's like banging the shields of his men, right?
El rey a caballo ahí con su espada está golpeando los escudos de los soldados.
And what is he saying? He's getting them ready for battle. And he's saying, hold your ground. Stand firm. Wait for it. Quédense firmes. Don't let panic win.
Que el pánico no gane.
Manténganse esperados.
esperen la victoria. And David's saying to his own soul the same thing. He's saying, okay, soul, stand firm and let God win this one. Victory is in his hands, not yours. La victoria está en sus manos y no en las tuyas, él dice a su alma. Shh. Be silent and rest and take courage in God alone. Descansen. Cobren ánimo y valentía solo en Dios. Now, I think the reason David needs to do this, the reason David's talking to his own soul like this, is because resting and trusting in God and resting and trusting in God alone is an incredibly hard thing to do. Es muy difícil para nosotros descansar solo en Dios. There's a part of us that wants to do something when things are overwhelming, right? Cuando las cosas son grandes y nos agobian, queremos hacer algo. We want to fight. We want. But there's this part of us that knows that we are weak. David understands this. Look at verses 3 and 4. David comprende que estamos débiles. He says, how long will all of you attack a man to batter him like a leaning wall, like a tottering fence? They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. Él dice, ¿hasta cuándo atacarán todos ustedes a un hombre para derribarlo? Es como un muro inclinado, como una cerca a punto de derrumbarse. Solo quieren derribarlo de su lugar de preeminencia. They only plan to take him down from his high position. There's the word only again, isn't it? Solo quieren derribarlo. David's saying, you know, there are points when we are under attack, whether the enemy is a human enemy or a spiritual enemy or a circumstance enemy or whatever that enemy is, you get in those situations where the problem's bigger than you and all it takes is just a little to knock you over. Hay situaciones, sea el enemigo, el diablo o humano o circunstancias donde un pequeño soplo te puede derribar. And you're on the edge and you think you can do something in that situation, you're going to... It'll take a feather to knock you over. David's talking from experience here, isn't he? David habla de la experiencia. David knew what it was to face impossible circumstances. Goliath was just the beginning. It wasn't the end. David enfrentaba muchas circunstancias difíciles. Circumstances where he felt weak, like he could fail at any minute. There are a lot of them we could describe here, but one that comes to my mind when I read this, where it says, you know, they only plan to thrust him down from his high position, I'm reminded of the story of 2 Samuel chapter 16, and you can look that up on your own. Me recuerda de 2 Samuel 16, where David's own son, Absalom, stages a coup to try and dethrone his own father from the kingship. Su propio hijo Absalom lo quiere destronar en un golpe de estado. And David is forced in 2 Samuel chapter 16, he's forced to run for his life, to flee out of Jerusalem for his life. Tiene que fugarse para salvarse la vida de Jerusalén. He's on his way out from Jerusalem. He's at his weakest point. I mean, David is just so weak. He's so distraught. Está desesperado y débil. And to add insult to injury, there's this guy by the name of Shimei, who meets David when he comes outside of the city. A este hombre Shimei que se encuentra con David fuera de la ciudad. And Shimei comes to David and he begins to pelt him. The king, this is the king, mind you. He's pelting him with rocks and throwing dust in his face. Está tirando Shimei piedras y echándole polvo a David. And he basically says to David, ah, get out of here. Good riddance, you bloodthirsty sucker. Right? Allá tú, tu sanguijuela. Why would he say that? Well, Shimei is a relative of the previous king, King Saul, who also hunted David down. Shimei es pariente del rey Saúl, que también cazaba y acosaba a David.
And Shimei basically says, good riddance, you're getting payback for what you did to my relative Saul. You're getting it back in spades. Estás recibiendo tu recompensa por lo que hiciste a mi pariente Saul. Well, the guy's lying. David didn't do anything bad to Saul. David blessed Saul. David loved Saul. It was Saul who came against David. But here's this guy pelting David while he's down, kicking him while he's on the ground. Este hombre está pateando a David, dándole una patada mientras está ahí, herido. And what does David do in that situation? ¿Qué hace David? Nothing. He shuts up and says nothing. David no dice ni hace nada. And his bodyguards are right there. Sus guardias están con él. They say, hey, David, let us whack this guy, please. You know, let us take out this little flea and flick him out of here, right? Vamos a golpear esta pulga y sacarle de este lugar. And David says, no. No lo hagan, dice David. Why? David knows that God is up to something. He knows that God is up to something, and he doesn't want to get ahead of God. He doesn't want to get in the way of God. And so he chooses to be quiet and to trust in God alone. Él elige no entremeterse en los planes de Dios y de estar acallado y confiar solo en Dios. He chooses to wait in silence instead of trying to fix something that's too big for him. Él espera en silencio en vez de reparar una situación imposible. What are the situations in your life, my life, where we think we can fix what only God can fix? ¿En qué situaciones intentamos reparar lo que solo Dios puede reparar? What are the traps? What are the difficulties where we think, well, if I just do this work around and I do this or that or the other thing, I know I can make this work. I will twist this to my favor somehow, and yet we can't. And David is basically saying it is better to let God be in charge than you or me. Way better. David dice que es mejor que Dios esté a cargo que nosotros. Verse 9, he says that. He says this is why. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up, they are lighter than a breath. Una quimera es la gente de humilde cuna y una mentira la gente de alta alcurnia. Si se les pone junto en la balanza, todos ellos no pesan nada. The word only or ak is in this verse. We have to go looking for it. It's in the word but. Esa palabra solo está escondida aquí. No se traduce. Those of low estate are but only a breath. Those of high estate are only a delusion. Los de gente de alta, humilde cuna es solo una quimera, solo una mentira es la gente de alta alcurnia. When you think about all the things that can come against you, all the tricks and all of the gaslighting, and all of the manipulations that people can do and situations can bring against us, and all of the violence and all of the lies and injustices. You take all of that, David says, and you put it on the scales, and it's just a breath. It weighs nothing. It's temporary in comparison to the other side of the scale, which is the reality, the heavy reality of the eternal God who is with you. Si pones en la balanza las injusticias, las mentiras, las manipulaciones, los trucos y trampas de los malvados que están en tu contra, sean ricos o pobres, es un vapor. Es muy liviano en comparación con el Dios eterno.
y su grandeza. Those things you're going through from those people and those situations, they're light and momentary, the Bible says. Esas situaciones son del momento solamente, but God is forever. Dios es para siempre. So don't get caught up in the drama of the stuff that's happening on this side of the scale. Focus on this side of the scale and put your trust in God alone. No se enfoque en este lado de la balanza, sino en la otra donde está el Señor. And that's basically what David says in verse 10. He says, put no trust in extortion. Don't use the same tricks those other people are using. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them.
No confíen en la extorsión ni se hagan ilusiones con sus rapiñas. Y aunque se multipliquen sus riquezas, no pongan el corazón en ellas.
When the battle becomes too big, don't trust in your own riches, in your own smarts, in your own fame, in your own possessions, in technology, whatever it might be that you think is going to get you where you need to be. Don't try to fight your own battles. Trust in the Lord alone.
Cuando vengan los problemas, no confíes en tu propia tecnología, tu inteligencia, tu dinero, tus maniobras. No. Confíen solo en el Señor.
So it's in verses 7-8 that I think we find the summary of the QR code here.
Versículo 7-8 es como el código QR, el resumen.
Verse 7 and 8. Verse 7, David is kind of saying, here's the summary of what I've learned. On God rests my salvation and my glory, my mighty rock. My refuge is God. He's confessing, he's my God, he's my rock, he's my salvation.
Dios es mi salvación y mi gloria. Es la roca que me fortalece. Mi refugio está en Dios.
And then in verse 8, he's turning to the people.
Versículo 8, mira al pueblo, and he says,
to them, do what I'm doing. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us.
Confía siempre en el pueblo mío. Se dirige al pueblo. Ábrele tu corazón cuando estés ante él. Dios es nuestro refugio.
This is the QR code, right here. In the face of the trials and the injustices and the impossible situations and challenges of life, doesn't matter whether they're small, like somebody cutting you off in traffic, or big, like somebody taking you to court or a bill you can't pay.
Frente a los retos de la vida, sean poquitos o pequeños, como alguien que te corta de tráfico o alguien que te pone pleito, o frente a una situación de la inmigración, o sea lo que sea.
In the face of all those things, the QR code that we need is to quietly rest in the Lord.
Código QR es de ver qué reposo hay en el Señor.
It is to find in God our quiet refuge.
Es de ver qué refugio hay en el Señor.
It's about being able to recognize, quietly recognize, God's promise, God's word, God's presence, his reality, and lean on him hard, 100%.
Es depender, reposarnos, inclinarnos en la palabra, la promesa, la presencia de Dios.
That's faith, right? Faith in a nutshell is about quiet rest in the Lord.
La fe es ver qué reposo hay en el Señor.
Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you've maybe heard it before. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths.
Confía en el Señor de todo corazón y no te apoyes en tu propia inteligencia. Reconócelo en todos tus caminos y él enderecerá tus sendas.
That's good news, right? But there's more. There's another level here.
there is a deeper dimension to the QR code that I want us to highlight.
Hay una dimensión más profunda de este código QR.
Look at verses 11 and 12 with me. Versículos 11 y 12. David says, "Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love, for you will render to a man according to his work."
Una cosa ha dicho Dios, y dos veces lo he escuchado, que tú, oh Dios, eres poderoso, que tú, Señor, eres todo amor, que tú pagarás a cada uno según lo que merezca sus obras.
The foundation of our faith is that God has spoken, not once, but twice.
El fundamento de la fe es que Dios ha hablado no una vez, sino dos veces.
The first time God spoke, he said, "Let there be light."
Dios dijo que haya luz en el principio.
And what happened? The whole universe came from nothing. Everything that was created was created. Dios creó todo. And in that, what do we see? We see the power of God.
Vemos el poder de Dios.
God is powerful, David says. Once he's spoken and he's powerful.
Una vez habló y él es poderoso.
If the God who spoke everything out of nothing is the God that we are leaning on, he can create a way out of whatever situation you are in. Why? Because he's powerful. He's all powerful.
Él es todo poderoso. El Dios que creó el mundo puede crear una salida de la situación imposible que tienes.
But God has spoken a second time.
Dios habló una segunda vez.
And in that second time, David says, we see God's steadfast love.
La segunda vez vemos el amor eterno de Dios.
The second time God said, "Let there be light." He spoke into the world his steadfast love in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ.
La segunda vez que dijo que haya luz, habló la segunda vez su amor eterno en la persona de su Hijo Jesucristo.
Jesus is the steadfast love of God in the flesh for you and me. And I believe that the fingerprints of Jesus are on this psalm. This psalm is pointing us to Jesus.
Este salmo nos señala a Jesús.
Verse 1, "From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation.
Del viene mi salvación. Él es mi roca y mi salvación.
He alone is my salvation." The word salvation here is Yeshua ti.
La palabra salvación es Yeshua ti.
Verse 7, "He's my salvation." Yeshua ti. Yeshua. Jesus. It's the same root word. It's the same.
Es la misma palabra.
Yeshua es el nombre de Jesús. He alone is our salvation. In fact, Jesus confirmed this way back in Luke 24:44. On the day he rose from the dead, Jesus said on the road to Emmaus, "Everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled."
Dijo Jesús, tenía que cumplirse todo lo que está escrito de mí, acerca de mí en la ley de Moisés, en los profetas, en los salmos.
Everything in the Psalms is about me, and everything that's about me must be fulfilled.
Todo lo que está en los salmos se trata de mí y tiene que cumplirse.
This is really pointing us to Jesus. Our one true QR code is Jesus. And Jesus alone, nuestro código QR es Jesús y solo Jesús. That is good news. When life is bigger than us. This was good news for me. About 2 weeks ago,
hace dos semanas, esta fue una buena noticia para mí.
As I was in an emergency room at Vanderbilt with my wife, fighting for breath, fighting for her life, literally.
Hace dos semanas, mi esposa estuvo en la sala de urgencia de Vanderbilt, lidiando para respirar, hasta para vivir.
And I sat there. I could do nothing. No pudo hacer nada. There were six people around her attending to her. Había seis personas atendiéndola. And I could do nothing. But I was studying the scripture for this message. And in his graciousness, the Lord brought it to my mind. And I sat there, and all I could think was, for God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. Y pude meditar en este salmo. Solo en Dios haya descanso mi alma. Del viene mi salvación. And the QR code of Jesus was with me. I know it. Jesús estaba conmigo. So in the face of life's overwhelming challenges, Jesus is the one who connects us to the quiet rest of God. Jesús nos conecta con el reposo que hay en Dios. Through his death, through his resurrection, he has defeated our greatest problems, our greatest enemies, the greatest impossibilities that we face. En su muerte y resurrección ha derrotado todo lo imposible en nuestra vida. He defeats sin and Satan and hell and death. Those are the big four, and they're all defeated. Ha derrotado a Satanás, el pecado, el infierno, la muerte. How did he do it? ¿Cómo? He hung in silence on the cross and trusted in his Father. Colgó en la cruz y confió en su Padre. They spit on him, kicked him, whipped him, accused him of being evil, and he said nothing. But he went to the cross. Lo vituperaron, lo golpearon, lo escupieron, y él no dijo nada, fue a la cruz. And on the cross, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Padre, en tus manos encomiendo mi espíritu. He trusted in God alone. Confió solo en Dios. And I'm so grateful he did, because he did it for you and me. And now Jesus gives us an invitation, Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Vengan a mí, dice Jesús, a ustedes que están cansados y agobiados. Yo les daré descanso. That's the invitation of Jesus. Come to me and find rest. Lean on me. I've done the work for you. You can't overcome your own sin. You can't make your own sin go away. You can't cheat death by your own strength. You can't avoid hell in your own power. Tú no puedes superar tu pecado ni la muerte ni el infierno en tu propio poder. Don't lean on anything that is temporary. The great French philosopher Pascal said, all faith is either in Adam or in Christ. El filósofo Pascal dijo, toda la fe está en Adán o en Cristo. What was he saying? We all have faith. Even an atheist has faith. Aún un ateo tiene fe. But what's your faith in? ¿En qué está tu fe? Faith in Adam? That's faith in me. La fe en Adán es la fe en el yo. Faith in my intelligence, my abilities, my job, my income, my car, my telephone, my political perspective, whatever you want to put in the blank. Faith in Adam is faith in me, and it's temporary, and it will not save me. La fe en mi inteligencia, mi dinero, mis capacidades, mi perspectiva política, sea lo que sea, es fe en mí mismo y no me va a salvar. Faith in Christ. Christ alone is what we need. If you've never trusted in Jesus, there's an open invitation from Refuge Church, from God, to come and lean upon Jesus as the QR code and find quiet rest in him today And if you want that, please talk with Pastor Mark. Please talk with me. I'm going to pray for you in just a minute. And if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ and just let go, do nothing but quietly rest in Him. La fe en Jesucristo es lo que necesitas. Y si quieres aceptar a Jesús hoy, puedes hablar con el Pastor Mark, conmigo, con otros líderes de la iglesia. Estamos aquí por ustedes y pueden ver qué reposo hay simplemente dependiendo de ese nombre.